You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock at 3:01 on a football Friday. Live this afternoon at one of our favorite places, National Law Rex in Farragut. And boy, as if we didn't have enough to be excited about today with a huge football game tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. We've got a lot going on here at the station, a lot going on the show. Folks, the next half an hour is about to be just breakneck pace. Buckle up. We have with us here live at National Law Rex, you know him, you love him, the one, the only, the CGP, Christopher Gabriel, live and in the flesh. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, it is great to be here. Hello to you. Hello to everybody in Big Orange Country, wherever you may be, here on Fan Run Radio. Man, I am 74 degrees, clear sky. Went by Neyland today, looking good. We had some fried chicken. I am ready to roll.
We hung out with Bear last night. We did the Calhoun's on the River thing. So we've been getting, this is the first time we've ever met. Like 24 hours ago, I'd never met Christopher Gabriel. And now we've been hanging out for a while now. We had dinner. We had lunch today. We did a little Gus's fried chicken over there on Sutherland Avenue.
Y'all went to Gus's without me.
CG Bear. Yeah.
You guys went to Gus's without me.
That wasn't I don't want to say that it was my idea, but that's,
I'm sure it was Russell's. I don't think.
I thought you were because you know him longer than I have. I thought I'm really sorry. You know what?
It's not on you, Christopher. This is on Russell. I know what he did. That's all right. But yeah, we destroyed some food last night. Had a good time. Christopher Gabriel, sneaky big everybody, sneaky big guy.
Yeah, big old feller.
It's funny because a lot of people would look at me on my old show back in the Midwest, and they'd be like, you know, you look really short. It's like, no, I'm sitting down, okay? I'm sitting down. I'm not standing up. But, we did put some food last night. I don't know. I feel like you threw a 20 or a 40 bucks to the hostess, a server there, because we had the best table in the darn place.
Oh, yeah.
We hit the lottery.
Christopher Gabriel comes to town. Nobody puts CG in a corner.
No.
All right? We actually were in the corner, but it was right there on the river. It was fantastic.
What was going on one of those boats? There was some serious activity going on well beyond beveraging.
You two wanted to get down there and mix it up a little bit, I felt like. So,
yeah, I think the boat was something like Dream Dawn or Dawn Fall, something like that, and they were waving us over. I mean, they had the blender going, they had a keg on there.
We were thinking about crashing the party there for a second.
Nothing wrong with that.
We got into some karaoke, but yeah, it was a really good time. So,
mm-hmm. We're at National RX 11134 Kingston Pike. If you want to come out and meet CG, we'd love to see you right next to Wendy's, Kingston Pike in Farragut. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon if you want to come out and say hello. And then as soon as the show's over, we're going to pack up here and head north, east and north, to Hops and Hollers, where we're going to have a big Fan Run meet and greet. Everybody's going to be there. Jake's doing overtime live down there today, and we're just going to sit around and drink beers and eat some barbecue and talk with folks. It is going to be fantastic. So you can't come out and say hello today, and feel free. We'd love to see you out here at National RX. We do have piping hot Jets pizza for you, but if you want to spend some more time with us in a little more relaxed setting, Hops and Hollers tonight. We'll be there around 7.
You know what, Russ and Bear, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, I want to thank my bosses at KMJ out in California. They were kind enough to give me a couple of days off. They know what this trip meant to me, to be out here, to be with you and Bear and all the great folks in the audience and Fan Run, the Fan Run family. And so I just want to thank Blake and Patty and everybody back in California, in case they're listening, because this trip was possible because of them. And because of you, because you invited me. Hopefully, I don't want to leave town. You're like, it's too much. Yeah. He's got to get the hell out of here. We can't have him on here anymore.
Well, it kind of came up after, you had started talking about Willie and Philly on your show out there. And you were attracted to the the crazy part of our fan base.
I love your fan base. And, you know, whenever I imitate a Southern accent, I don't want anybody to get upset because half of my family is from Tennessee and Georgia. So I grew up with that. But I have the Willie audio on my SoundCloud page when he said, well, he's just a talk host in Sacramento.
Yeah. But I remember Russ looking at me and being like, we got to get this guy in town.
Yeah. It's taken a while.
It has been a while, man. It's glad to finally have you right here, on. CG. All right, let's get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you are aware of this, but we have kind of a big football game happening tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. We're all going to be there. It's going to be fantastic. Of course, voluntary reaction as soon as it's over. We want you to get your score prediction into us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDriveWithRussellSmith. The Crown Cleaners Crown Pick of the Week. Somebody's winning gift cards for dry cleaning and pizza from Crown Cleaners. Go to facebook.com/TheDriveWithRussellSmith and put your score prediction in the thread. All right, Bear, we've got Jabari Davis hopefully going to join us here in just a few minutes. But first, you know what time it is, Bear. You've been waiting for this all week, haven't you?
Man, I used to clown you about this for years, but I don't know what's happened. I really enjoy.
Five things I want to see tomorrow. A little quick analysis for you. Here's five things. I believe if we see these things, we're going to be drinking from the keg of glory tomorrow night on Voluntary Reaction. Number one, Bear.
Yes, sir.
Win the turnover battle.
I mean, hold on.
Has to happen. You do that. That one thing alone, I almost think, guarantees victory. If we're plus in the turnover department, I think Tennessee wins. Number two, no kicking game screw-ups. This has been kind of a bugaboo so far. We should have had a kick blocked against Ball State. We did have a kick blocked against Pitt. And we almost had a kick blocked last week against Akron. What's going on? Why can we not punt the ball?
Your first two fall into the category of the thing that Tennessee has been so bad with Florida for so many years, mental errors.
Mental errors are big in this one. And number three, and this kind of encapsulates number one and number two, it's – maxim number one, make the fewest mistakes. The team that makes the fewest mistakes will win. I feel like that's just, it's play a clean game, whatever you want to call it. I feel like if Tennessee does that, there's almost no path to victory for Florida. Number four, make Anthony Richardson throw. Force him to sit in the pocket. Force him to throw the ball downfield. He hasn't shown he can do it yet.
No, he's one of three quarterbacks in the 131 FBS schools that has not thrown a touchdown pass. And for those of us who are suffering from battered vowel syndrome, the problem is you're going around tonight thinking, this guy's going to have seven TD pass. No, he's not. No, he's not. And I hope they are bringing blitzing. I hope they are bringing pressure from every point of that football field tomorrow.
And finally, number five, this is big too, win in the red zone. You've seen this a couple times. The Heupel area gets bogged down inside the red zone. We go for it and come away with no points. Got to win inside the red zone. Make them kick field goals if they get down there in the red zone. Make it difficult on them. I think those are five keys. Win the turnover battle. No screw-ups in the kicking game. Make the fewest mistakes. Make Anthony Richardson beat you, make him throw it, and five, win in the red zone. Five things I want to see. If Tennessee does those five things, I think Tennessee wins. My final score, I've got the Vols winning. Maybe I should know better, but I've got them winning. 38-24. Winning and covering, mind you.
Can I have
that?
Can
that's
I have
a solid covering prediction, Russell. Go ahead.
I like that. I was just going to say, can I offer one of my own to your excellent
Please,
list?
Yes.
My one is for everybody listening right now, and that is the crowd must be a factor. The crowd, I mean, we expect them to be a factor, but Steve Spurrier, back in the 90s, he was the conductor. He was brilliant at orchestrating those fans getting into a fever pitch. Josh Heupel understands that. He knows it. But people coming into the 101-915 tomorrow, Russ and Bear, they need to come with a set of lungs. Anybody saying, sit down, I can't, then go home. Just don't go to Neyland
don't
tomorrow.
Bother showing
That's
up.
It. They got it. Fans have to bring their A game.
We have a caller, Geraldo Vall, big fan of your CG, who last year before the Ole Miss game said the environment needs to be, quote, borderline dangerous.
Yeah.
Now, some would say the border was crossed at the end of the Ole Miss game. But, yes, I think a similar attitude needs to be that play. I don't think we have to worry about that.
No.
I think that place is going to be rocking by the time the band takes the field around 3:20.
Yeah.
And when that game kicks off, it is going to be a madhouse. All right, we'll open up the Big Orange Phillies phone lines here, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show with us this afternoon, 546-8200. If you want to chime in, we would love to hear from you as we get ready for the Vols and Gators tomorrow, 3:30 kickoff inside Neyland Stadium. Now, I'm going to be at the game with CG and so many of our friends. We will have our typical coverage. Bear and Davey are going to be handling the halftime chat, and I'm going to hustle to the car. I'm going to get on a voluntary reaction as soon as I get to my car, depending on how far away I end up parking. I told CG I walk fast. I might even jog back to the car.
Well, you are a man in good shape.
Depending on how badly I want to get on the action. I don't, if things go south, I might be a while.
I think you are a man who is in very good shape,
you know,
if I may say so myself.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, we got a special guest now on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Let's get him in here. The Gator Slayer himself, Jabari Davis. It is tradition to talk to Juice on Football Friday when the Gators are coming to town. Jabari, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great on this beautiful eve of Tennessee, Florida, man.
What's the deal, Bear, Juice? Man. You're the kid pickup line or something right now? Is that what Bear was telling me?
I was. Man, I had a speaking engagement at Tennessee Westland at 12 p.m.
Oh.
And I'm heading back to Maryville right now to go to my storage to get ready for my other event that I have tonight. I'm going to promote that right quick. Tonight at Maple Hall, downtown Knoxville, from 6 to 8 p.m., we're having a VFL social. It's an event that we do as a fundraiser for our Legends of Tennessee organization. We'll be talking about Tennessee-Florida game stories, unheard stories, greatest memories from a few guys that played from different eras, guys in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, guys that just took off the uniform a couple years ago. We got about 10-plus guys coming in. We sold tickets at $25. Your ticket covers your food and a cocktail. And we'll have a microphone, and we'll just be having a great time with the fan base, sharing those stories. You know, a lot of these fans don't realize some of those moments that led to those big plays. And, you know, even like myself, I told a story about me in the 03 game. I didn't know I was going to play. You know, I was sick as a dog. I had a fever, 103 degrees, and all of a sudden, you know, they pumped me up with some IVs and Pedialyte, Motrins, and I was ready to go. You know, that second half.
He was ready to go, man. I mean, you were 3-1 against Florida, 2-0 in the Swamp, and so he's very credible. I've heard some of these Jabari Davis Florida stories. Some of them not fit for the airwaves. Pretty good ones. I like the ones with Casey Clawson too. So you can go and hear some of those for yourself. Now, Jabari, are you going to have some of those tasty cigars you're always toting around this week?
Man, I have a new cigar. Especially
right.
For this weekend, man, we have a cigar that we'll be releasing tonight at Maple Hall. It's called the VFL Championship Cigar. It's a Nicaraguan cigar, Connecticut, you know, which is a light smoke with a lot of cream and great flavors. Nothing too strong for the new smokers. Has a beautiful checkerboard band on it. And have a VFL logo that's glossed out, beautiful colors, black and orange. And and if you want one of those, you got to come to the event to get one. And they're limited. So I'm only bringing 50 sticks out. So anybody that wants their victory stick for tomorrow, come see me tonight. I got them on sale.
Oh, man, I hope we are sparking those babies up about 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Jabari, Christopher Gabriel from KMJ Fresno is here with me out west today. He's got a question for you. CG, what you got?
Hey, Jabari, it's great to talk with you. I enjoyed watching you play. Thinking back on the fact that you were 3-1, you and your teammates were 3-1 against the Gators, and not many other Tennessee Vols have had those kinds of numbers, that kind of success. As you look at these two teams this year, coming into this huge tilt tomorrow, what concerns you the most as a key for Tennessee to win? Are you looking at offensive execution, offensive production, or does it have to be a defensive shutdown? Which is more key in your mind to beat Florida tomorrow?
Well, I think you got to be solid on all phases of the game. You know, you don't have to have a perfect game to win. I heard that. Just do your job, man. You know, the moment, even though it's really big and all the noise that's going on the outside of the stadium and on TV and things like that, just do your job the best that you can do it. Play with passion, play with pride, play with a sense of purpose, and maximize the opportunity. So definitely feel, as an offensive player, I want to see our offense put on a damn show. I know we have a great offensive mind and a head coach that's going to call an unbelievable game that he always does. I'm looking to see who's going to step up just in case Cedric Tillman can't go and be 100%. Who's going to be that guy that can make themselves a household name? And, you know, my passion is always with the running backs. I want to see Jabari Small have that Alvin Kamara-type Texas A&M game, you know, that can help get his, you know, film out there, get him drafted, and get him solidified as one of the best backs in the country, not just the SEC. So I know he's been banged up too, but, you know, hey, man, we just all got to put it together and everybody do their job, and we'll come out the same with a big-time win.
Jabari, one quick follow-up, if I may, before I throw this back to Russ. And this is something I think, because we're all fans here. We're all big-time fans. We're a little biased. We're biased to the orange and white. Which is the more intimidating environment, the Swamp at its peak or Neyland Stadium at its peak?
Neyland Stadium at its peak, man, because that 12th man, I mean, Neyland Stadium is a real 12th man. I mean, with that crowd noise, and with that field shaking, I mean, you can't hear a damn thing when it's rocking. And I played in a lot of different stadiums. And in the Swamp, it's just, it's loud, it's disrespectful because of the fans, of how rude they are. They like to trash you and throw stuff at you on the sideline and throw stuff at the bus. But, you know, if you hit them in the mouth early, usually people in the Swamp, they'll shut up. But our fan base, man, we get rowdy. Like, we never get quiet because we always believe that we have a shot. So nothing compares to Neyland Stadium. I always tell kids, take a visit to a Tennessee game, and especially a game like this, it will change your life and change your recruiting.
Well said. Jabari Davis with us this afternoon. Juice, I know you got to run here in a second. Real quick, just want to get your official score prediction. Let's get the J train on record before we let you run here. Vols Gators tomorrow. How do you see this one shaking out?
Vols win 35-17. We show up. We show out. We light cigars after the game. We drinking Eagle Rare. We drinking all the best bourbon in town. Man, we on the, hey, we gonna turn the strip back into the strip again.
There you go.
Hey, yeah, man, if we gotta make another old Charlie's, another OCI for tonight, man, we taking it back to 1998. We taking it back to 2001. We gonna celebrate a ton Black Trek. We're going to do it big, man. Knoxville is about to be Vegas tonight, man. The city of bright lights and lots of fun, man. I'm excited about it. I know we're going to win. These boys have worked so hard. These seniors deserve it. They've been through hell over the last couple of years, playing through so much emotions and dealing with different coaches. And you know, they stayed faithful. They didn't hit the portal like a lot of us. I mean, you know, like a lot of the former players that we had hit some adversity. They just took it and ran with it. But, nah, man, Trayvon Flowers, those guys, They deserve this win, man. Let's send those boys out on a great note, on a storybook ending for their career, and let's get this win.
Let's get it, man. Mm. Go see Jabari down there at Maple Hall tonight. He's at a big event with VFLs from 6 until 8. And afterwards, you can swing by and see us. We'll be at Hops and Hollers for a while. So come on down there.
I also have Gator Killer shirts.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got some Beat Florida shirts as well. We got cigars. We got hats. Man, we got everything you need to pregame to set the weekend off for tomorrow. So, you know, come say hello to some former players. We'll have Brad Lampley in the building, C.J. Faton, Jason Swain may stop by, Fred White may stop by. We may get an appearance from Dobbs. John Poe, who's in the car with me right now, he had 8 tackles against Florida.
I saw John Poe that day. Juice, I saw John Poe out there with you at Big Orange Phillies a couple weeks ago. Yeah. He looks like he can still put the pads on.
Let Poe say something for a little bit. Poe, holler at him for a little bit. Fellas, what's
John Poe?
John Poe in the building.
Hey, man, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
Man, I think we're going to pull it out. I got us 28. I got us 28-14. I got us 28-14.
Okay, hold on. John Poe, I got to keep the record here.
I got it here.
We're writing this down. 28-14. Yeah. What did you say?
28-14. J Train said 35-17.
All right.
28-14, John Poe, correct?
Yes, 28-14.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted to piggyback off something y'all asked Jabari earlier in terms of what will it take to win. I agree wholeheartedly with just not trying to have a perfect game, but just going out there doing your best. But also, man, I think our fans do know, but I don't think most of the fans know how much we feed off of that energy. And so, man, I want to see our fans back like we did in 04. That game, I actually came in behind. I was playing behind K. Simon, one of my great friends, and Kevin Simon tore his ACL first play of the game, and then, you know, I was backing him up, so I came in and probably had one of the best games of my career. So, but just to be able to play against Florida, you guys know, is one of the most important games, especially in the SEC East, because if you don't make it out the East, you can't even make it to Atlanta. And so, so this is definitely a big game for us.
No doubt, no doubt. Hey, John, it's great to hear your voice, my friend. Thanks for jumping on. You and Juice, stay safe now, and behave yourselves down there at Maple Hall tonight, all right?
We will, man. If we get in any issues, we're going to give you a call, Russ, to come, come fight well, some right, people. Come we'll fight some Gators for us, man.
We'll do it. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, man. Talk to y'all fellas later.
Yeah. Jabari Davis and John Poe, a little 2-for-1 deal there on the drive.
Right now, the average score of everybody is 34-18.
Oh, Chris is crunching the numbers.
The numbers. I'm putting on my accountant hat, even though I'm not one. I just 34-18 is where we're sitting, Russ.
What are you, some kind of account engineer or something?
You know, it's all about the numbers. It's all about crunching these numbers for the phone. Because we have a thing on my show, and I'm bringing it to your show today. Hashtag full service.
Oh,
hashtag
I like
full
that.
Service.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to take a quick timeout. When we continue, Trey Wallace from Outkick is going to join the festivities. We're live today at National Law Rex. Christopher Gabriel, guest hosting today on The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio coming to you live this afternoon from National RX, Farragut's neighborhood community pharmacy, locally owned and operated, veteran owned and operated. We love National RX. Hey, this show wouldn't be on the air 12 years running now if not for the fine folks right here at National RX. Show them some love. Maybe you're fortunate in life, you don't have any prescriptions that you have to get refilled on the reg. Everybody needs over-the-counter products. Christopher Gabriel himself just bought a couple of razors so that he can be nice and smooth-faced when he joins the crowd tomorrow in Neyland Stadium. Whether you need some aspirin, some vitamins, another toothbrush, whatever, swing by National RX and support local business, support Fan Run Radio. Tell them you heard about it right here on The Drive. We go straight back to the busy Big Orange Billy's phone lines. Trey Wallace of Outkick is standing by. Trey, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
You know what? I'm good. I don't think that I would have ever imagined, probably, what was it, four and a half years ago, mm-hmm. when CGP started started coming on the radio airways with me, and then it transitioned over to you and the Bear. I never, you know, it's crazy to think he's in town. He's on the radio airwaves at Fan Run Radio, and I'm excited for him to experience tomorrow.
Well, you know, first of all, Trey, great to hear from you in something other than a text message or a phone call. And I'll tell you, it was about 4.5 years ago, and you and I started doing our thing together on my show, and I came on with you. And then, yeah, you sort of passed the torch. You moved on to something, you know, a little bit more writing-centric, and Russ picked right up. But we've all stayed friends. We've all gotten closer. And last night, it all came together on the river at Calhoun's. I'm just expecting – I keep looking – you know, I'm looking through the doorway here. It's like any minute, Trey Wallace is going to bring his handsome self in these doors. And I, you know, the girl at the door is like, I don't see Mr. Wallace. So I don't know. Am I going to see you at some point?
Oh, you're going to see me. It's either going to be tonight or it's going to be tomorrow. You're going to see me. You're going to get a Trey Wallace bear hug. We're going to hang out, have a good time. I can't wait. And I look forward to it, brother.
Right on.
Get down to Hops and Hollers tonight, Trey. It's not going to be a party without you, man. You got to be down there. We're going to be down there on 7. So,
I'm trying my hardest. I might be a little bit late to it, but I'm trying my hardest to get down there tonight. Absolutely.
Fashionably late. Mr. Outkick, got to be fashionably late here.
Trey, one thing, and Russell and I were talking about this before you give us some great content, as you always do. You know, Russell's here doing his show. I'm pleased to be here. And, you know, but when we go out and do our shows, you know, we've gotten doing our own thing. I'm told you have a staff of like 5 people running around you now going, yes, Mr. Wallace. No, Mr. Wallace. Yes, I'll get that iced tea, Mr. Wallace. Is that true? Can you confirm that?
It's crazy. I usually get on a private jet just to go to the next town over. So it's gotten a little big nowadays, Christopher.
Wheels up is in your corner now.
Trey's driver should have hops by 7:30. Trey, what do you think about it, man? I mean, this is one of the biggest games we've seen come to Knoxville in a long time. Vol fans are hyped. For once, Florida fans are the ones who are a little trepidatious coming into the game. What do you think about it, man? Has anybody seen anybody pick Florida to win this game?
No, and it's been weird. Like, I was walking around campus a little bit yesterday, and you know, I was trying to get a feel of this, of the atmosphere and what it's going to be, just trying to set the scene, you know, before Saturday arrives. And you know, I was just talking with multiple people, fans that were in town, even talked to a ticket scalper who was, you know, out there trying to sell tickets on a Thursday, which is weird. But it just there's just a different atmosphere around this game. There is, and I don't know if this is the right way to put it, but there feels like there's no fear of Florida this year. I would advise fans just to watch out, you know, don't go full into it, but enjoy the environment. But I was talking with somebody last night, and I said, you know, I didn't get to experience Woodstock 99, but that's what it feels like for tomorrow.
Like, Ballstock.
I mean, it's just, you know, they're setting up the massive screens where people can be at the watch party for the game right up the hill from the stadium. You've got game day in town. You got Fox in town. You got Barstool in town. CBS in town. It's just like, goodness gracious. Like, how much more can you fit into this area on campus? And somebody told me they were expecting, the number that I was given was probably around 170,000 people on campus tomorrow, on Saturday, which is absurd and crazy. And, you know, somebody from out of town asked me, well, how do you summarize this? I said, well, did you watch the Tennessee baseball regionals? And they were like, well, yeah. And I said, all right, well, times that by like 20. That's what you're going to get tomorrow. You're going to get a watch party on the street. You're going to get crazy fans in the stands. I'm just excited about it. I'm excited to experience it with college football. And look, I think Tennessee has a really good chance of being up 10 to 14 points in the fourth quarter and being able to put away the Gators sometime, you know, around the 9-8 minute mark of that.
Trey, Russ and I were talking about something here, and I wanted to get your thought on this, and this really follows along with something you just said. One of the things I've noticed over the years, and it's been really apparent, going back to Spurrier, Urban Meyer, a little bit with some of the later coaches, is Tennessee going into this game, they hoped to win. Florida expected to win. What I've seen from a distance with Josh Heupel and his staff is he has basically empowered and enabled his players to expect to win. Doesn't matter if they're going down to Tuscaloosa and they're a double-digit underdog. He is expecting his team to win. Have you sensed that when you've talked with them?
Yeah, no, I really have. And yes. And talking with a couple of people, staffers this week, in and around the program, they're embracing. The players are embracing the atmosphere around them, and the coaching staff is not holding it back either. They're not saying, oh, well, don't get on social media, or don't watch TV, or don't read into the hype. The thing is, they trust this football team. They trust the leaders on this football team to have their guys steady and ready for the game on Saturday. You know, one thing about this Tennessee team is they don't buy into their own hype. I think, and they haven't, look, Tennessee hasn't had much to be hyped about in the last 5 to 6 years. But with this team, it just feels a little different. You got a calm, cool, collective Hendon Hooker. You've got Cedric Tillman on offense being that leader that you need. You've got Trayvon Flowers, and you've got Tank McCullough on defense being the older veteran. There's Tyler Barron. There's a number of guys that have held this team in check. And look, keep your attitudes, keep whatever you're bringing, check that at the door before you walk in here, because it really is kind of that laid back business type approach where we know what's coming. We have to control our emotions, and it's just got to be another game. And that's how you look at it. And I think, and then the last thing I'll say on this, I think the best thing about this for Tennessee heading into tomorrow is, and most of these players don't know about the history of Tennessee, Florida. They don't. Most of these kids were 15 and 16 years old the last time Tennessee beat Florida. So that's actually something to their advantage. You know, you know, I know former players might reach out and whatnot, but it's not like these guys are, you know, feeling the pressure. They're just going out there and playing football. And I think that's what Josh Heupel's trying to present all week.
Trey Wallace of Outkick with us this afternoon on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. And, you know, it's interesting what CG's saying there about hoping to win versus expecting to win. I don't know if Tennessee's players expect to win. I know that Florida's players don't expect to win, but I think Tennessee's a little bit beyond hope at this point. So it does feel like the mental advantage. I mean, you look at all the factors, home field advantage, coaching, I think plays in it. Who knows? Maybe Billy Napier does turn out to be a better coach than Josh Heupel, but he's in year one. He's still finding his way down there, whereas Heupel is established. He's got an identity with this team, knows what they want to do tomorrow. And then the talent on the field, if you look at the recruiting rankings, Florida's top to bottom probably has a little bit better talent ranking than Tennessee. But at the most important position, there's no question Tennessee has better quarterback play tomorrow. And I look at this Florida roster, and other than maybe Brenton Cox as an edge rusher, he's really the only one, maybe Trey Dean as a safety. Not a lot of star power for this Florida team.
No, right? No, and especially if Ventrell Miller is not going to play tomorrow. I mean, I think that's key. I mean, I was talking with our buddy Nick Della Torre, and he was saying that Ventrell Miller practiced the last 2 days in a non-contact jersey. He's going to try to give it a go. But I think that would hamper Florida actually even more if he's on the field, you know, limping around and trying to make plays, even though he's the quarterback of that defense. I mean, you look at the roster, top to bottom, talent-wise, star-wise, yeah, Florida has more, I think, than Tennessee. But as a team together and the way this group is, I think Tennessee's more talented. There's two things going here. One thing is Billy Napier has decided to pull back on the reins of Anthony Richardson over the last three games. The first game against Utah, he had 11 carries. The last two games combined, he's at 14. They're trying not to get him hurt. And if they come in here with that philosophy, they're going to get beat. You know, Florida just has to let him loose and let him run. The biggest thing with Tennessee, Josh Heupel trusts Hendon Hooker to make his own decisions. And I think that's key. You see Hendon Hooker, the way he can get down, he can slide and get outside the pocket. He knows when to get out of bounds, not take that hit. They're just a different trust factor right now between the two quarterbacks and the two coaches of both schools. So, you know, and maybe they decide, okay, Anthony Richardson, go do your thing. I still think Tennessee's going to game plan to make him a statue in the pocket. And if they make him a statue in the pocket, Tennessee's going to win this game running away tomorrow, because I don't think Anthony Richardson can beat them down the field. So it's crazy to think, you know, both coaching staffs, everything put into it. But if you're looking at it, guys, Tennessee's the 11th team in the country. They're going into a game. Over 100,000 people are going to be in that stadium, probably another 60,000 to 70,000 people hanging out at their tailgates and a watch party. It's checker kneeling. It's in the afternoon. It's enough time for people to get sauced up and then sober up whenever they get home. I just feel like this is one of those times, Russ. We've talked about this many of times. Me and you and Bear have sat on the radio and said, okay, well, this is a game Tennessee should win. This is a game Tennessee should win tomorrow, and they should do it decisively. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out on the field, and I'd expect Tennessee to be the calmer of the teams out there on Saturday.
Hey, Trey, I want to have you expand on one thing that you said. The phrase you used was maybe Florida will just say, you know, let AR go out and do his thing. And I'm not being flippant when I ask this. What is his thing? because let's go back to the Utah game. You know, the national media was, I mean, listen, we all read it. We all heard it. The national media was ready to anoint him a Heisman candidate. You saw him on Heisman lists. Then you saw him, the following week against Kentucky, and he was not on any lists. If anything, he was on Gator fans' lists of, well, what are we doing here? Why is he playing? And then against South Florida, he looked even more pedestrian. So I ask this seriously. What is his thing? I don't know that we haven't seen anything in his arsenal yet.
No, I mean, I think when we're talking about Anthony Richardson, it's making plays with his feet. It's actually running the ball. It's actually finding the RPOs and running with it, besides, you know, either pitching it off or trying to pop back and find something down the field. You know, you go back, I think the biggest thing about him is you let him play freely, meaning whatever comes to you, man. If you want to scramble, you know, scramble. If you want to get down the field on a design run, do it. I think, you know, with Florida's backup quarterback situation being as horrible as it is, I mean, their backup, Jack Miller, technically he's not the backup anymore, the Ohio State transfer, he's hurt. The kid can't even grip a football right now still. So, you know, technically they would have the third string if something happened to Richardson. So I think this is one of those games where you just got to let him run the football, man, and be a player like Hendon Hooker is somewhat. And I think that's key for what Florida would have to do tomorrow to actually make this a close game, because they're not just going to sit there and pick off Tennessee. Like, I know Tennessee is – I know fans will cringe when they hear, slant over the middle. But Tennessee's going to bring enough pressure, I think, on Anthony Richardson with some different blitz packages. They're going to make him uncomfortable in the pocket. So Tennessee's biggest thing tomorrow is make him a statue. If you make him a statue, I think Tennessee can just take care of business. I can't see Florida putting up a ton on offense if Anthony Richardson's not doing anything.
Is Trey Wallace of Outkick. Check him out at outkick.com. Does a great job covering SEC football there. Trey, appreciate your time, my man. I'm expecting you. Tell your driver.
Yeah.
You know, we need
come on,
Mr. Wallace at Hobbs and Hollers tonight.
Come on.
I promise you, one or two things. You will either see me tonight, or I promise you will see me tomorrow. One or the other.
I'm visiting your relatives in Mobile. I'll be like, what is wrong with your guy? What?
Exactly. Exactly. No, and I'm excited too. Family in town, I'm excited for them to get to meet you guys. And
right on.
Look, it's going to be a great time. I look forward to it. I can't wait to see you guys. And we'll have a nice little time before the game starts. Even though I am working, you guys are getting to have all the fun. we'll still have a good time. I can't wait, boys.
We'll drink and eat your share,
that's
Trey.
It.
Don't worry.
That's
it. All right, Trey Wallace. Yeah. See you, man. Appreciate you. Trey Wallace checking in on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We're live today, National RX in Farragut. Open up the phone lines for you here, 865-546-8200. Tell us your hopes, your dreams, your fears. Let's talk it out, ladies and gentlemen. Your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues live this afternoon from National RX with Christopher Gabriel. I'm Russell Smith. Bear and Marcus are back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, and we're all convening tonight at Hops and Hollers as soon as the show's over. We're going to be headed down that way. Chris and I should get there around 7 tonight if you want to meet up. And one of the folks that we're going to be having down there is our friend Doug Brooks, at Desert Vol, I believe, is his Twitter handle. And Doug has some really cool pieces of Tennessee wall art that he's going to be auctioning off, and the proceeds are he's going to send them to the Arnstein Jewish Community Center here in town, which is a really cool place. I played soccer there growing up, went to some day camps there growing up. They got a great pool, and right off Dean Hill Drive, and they do a lot of great programs for kids and stuff like that, taking care of kids after school and in the summer and stuff like that. So it's for a great cause. Doug's on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines with us this afternoon. Doug, first of all, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, doing very well, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. Appreciate you. I know you've been wanting to auction some of this stuff off for a long time. I'm glad that it finally worked out that we're going to get to do it. Tell us a little bit about what you got tonight.
Well, it is stuff from my personal collection from over the years. As you know, the more you acquire, the less room you have. So I had to sacrifice some stuff. I kept what's most important to me, but these are still some just great wall art, a couple of helmet plaques that rather than just give it away or donate somewhere else, I wanted Vol Nation, the 37, however you want to call us, to have first crack at it.
I like it. All right. So come on out. We're going to do a silent auction tonight at Hops and Hollers. So when you get there, go up. There's a little, I don't know. I mean, this sounds bad, but it looks like a shed, but it's nice in there. Go out there and make a bid. Take some of this stuff home. And we appreciate Doug for lending it to us, or I guess giving it to us. Doug, in Arnstein is a great place to donate your time and your money as well, too.
It is. It's been a very important part of my family's life. They have a preschool there, and two of my three kids so far have gone there. The third will go there. And they do a yearly art auction as a fundraiser in the spring. But I thought, let Vol Nation bid on it, and then the money will still go to them. And it's a great place for they're welcoming to people of all faiths and backgrounds. And my kids have benefited greatly from it.
Very cool. Well, come on out and get some of this stuff, folks. I want Doug to be able to stroke a pretty decent check to Arnstein when all this is said and done. And you come out, meet CG. Trey Wallace is going to be down there, I think. A lot of other fan-run friends are going to be there as well. So it should be a really good time down there. And, Doug, thanks again. Anything else you want to say about tonight, the pieces that you're letting go, or Arnstein? Before we let you run?
Yeah, I can run through them real quick. There's two helmet plaques, like half a helmet mounted. One is the Tennessee helmet. The other is the Oilers. Got it way back when. You might have to outbid John Reed for it. I'm not sure. there's five pieces of like wall art. There's one that was, it's an aerial shot of Neyland Stadium in 96 when it was the largest stadium in the country at the time. Everything's under glass, framed, matted. Everything looks beautiful. The other four are done by, I assume, local artists. One is from the 1985 SEC Championship. It's got all 10, at the time, SEC teams, their uniforms on it. It says Tennessee 1985 Champions. There's one that is a art from the Tennessee River looking at Neyland Stadium as it appeared in the 80s. One is kind of an abstract look at game action. And there's another one, when he Shuler played here, it's just called 21. It's got his uniform painted, actually left the old school Star Vols gift bow on it. So you get a little bonus with that one. But they've all been kept in great condition, and I just hope they find a good home.
Hey, Doug, it's great to hear from you and to chat with you real briefly. We'll meet you tonight. I just wanted to say real quickly about the Arnstein Jewish Community Center. I think it's great that you made the point that they're welcoming to all faiths, because I used to play in a basketball league at a Jewish community center in Northeast Philadelphia. They were welcoming to anyone and everyone, and Jewish community centers in most large cities that I'm familiar with are very much that way. They play an integral part of the community. So I'm glad you made that point, because they are a wonderful recipient to whatever we are able to get from this evening.
Indeed, and great to talk to you too, Christopher. I'm glad you made it safe into town.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you tonight.
Hey, Doug, we got to let you – yeah, appreciate you, man. We will see you this evening. Come on out and get some of his stuff, man. Check this out. It goes to a great cause, and you're going to have some really cool UT memorabilia to take home with you tonight at Hops and Hollers. Doug Brooks, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
All right, we got to pause for the cause here. Top of the hour. When we continue, we'll send things back to Marcus for your top four at four. We've got a full bank of calls to Geraldo, Senior City ZR. We're going to try and get these guys in here. Kevin Brockway of the Gainesville Sun is going to join us from Gainesville coming up here in just a few moments. He actually might be already in town to cover the game. So we'll get a little bit of the Florida perspective on this weekend as well. Stay with us. The drive continues. More fan-run radio coming up.